What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
4 o'clock hour on the Hochman and Crowder show. We're very late, so we got to get back on the clock. Aronde Gadsden is going to join us this hour, and the Miami Dolphins have signed a cornerback. We're going to get into all of it right now. Josh Chappelle is with us until 6 p.m. today. Hawk and Crowder, if you're just joining us, are off today. They'll be back tomorrow. Appel, appreciate you filling in. Let's get to our training camp report right here on WQAM, sponsored by Miami-Dade County Public Schools Technical Colleges. MDCPS Technical Colleges offer over 60 affordable accredited programs, day or evening. Hands-on training aligned with local employers. Call 305-558-8000 or visit careerinayear.com to launch your future today. Dolphins sign a cornerback, Appel Cameron Dantzler, senior. Mm-hmm. Am I seeing this correct?
You are. So they made two moves, officially announced the Matthew Judon signing.
Right.
They parted ways with Tariq Black, who was probably a long shot to make the roster at receiver. And they also, Craig Aukerman, the special teams coach, at the end of a media availability today, came over and announced that they had made a decision on the punter, Jake Bailey. They cut, parted ways with
Ryan Stonehouse,
who was brought in to compete with him. And the other corresponding move was to bring in Cameron Dantzler. Now, he was a former third-round pick of the Vikings back in 2020. He played in the USFL last season, or the UFL, excuse me, with Memphis. He was very good for Memphis, kind of fell out of the league after a decent start to his career with the Vikings. I don't know how this is going to turn out for the Dolphins, but if he can build on what he did in the UFL last year, maybe there's something there with Dantzler. He had a, let me look at this. He had three interceptions his first couple of seasons with the Vikings in his first 2 years in the league. Last year, or hasn't been in the league since 2023. So he's been out of the NFL for a little bit.
That's right up Chris Greer's alley, man. Oh, you haven't played in 2 years? Oh, you're injured? Come on. We got a jersey for you. Come down to Miami. Right up our alley.
Hopefully he hits the field before Darren Waller does. Let's be honest.
No, it's pretty...
I like it.
Yeah, well, hold on a second.
I don't know why I like it, but I like it.
I'll be 100% honest here. Not that anybody would be surprised. I have never heard of Cameron Dantzler. Truthfully, I've never heard of him. But I want the Dolphins to improve their cornerback room. I'm down to take a flyer on somebody. I'm down to do anything possible so that, you know what? I'm not going to miss Cam Smith, which is crazy to say, but I'm not going to miss Cam Smith when he inevitably is not on this roster anymore. I mean, this is the biggest concern for the Miami Dolphins. Like, they've got to do something. This is them doing something. Whether this is a great move, I don't know, but it's something.
I like it for the opposite reason that you like it.
Okay.
I like it because I've heard his name before.
Okay.
And I would have liked Asante Samuel Jr. because I've heard that name before. So I'm happy that it's a name. He clearly, and again, this is terrible analysis from us, but what would you really expect? It seems like he had a really good year in the UFL. And so if he can build off of that and contribute at least a little bit, thumbs up. This is a low-risk, high-reward move for the Dolphins. And it's another body back there that can maybe push some of the other ones that maybe have a more clear path to playing.
Hey, Appel, what were your takeaways? This could be our headlines, by the way, brought to you by Doral Kia. Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kias in inventory, like Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. The Dolphins are going to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have a joint practice Thursday, and then obviously final preseason game, 7 p.m. kickoff on Saturday at Hard Rock Stadium. You will be on the call. You were at practice today. What were your takeaways from that preseason game? Like, major takeaway. Did Real Madrid score, Jimmy? I just saw you give a huge fist pump back there.
Yeah, they did. Mbappe kicked the penalty kick.
Penalty kick? Ah, it doesn't count. Fake goal. Doesn't count.
Of course it counts. On the scoreboard, it does.
Appel, what were your like main takeaways from the Dolphins preseason game after? Because we talked on Friday, joint practice. You were very upset with the overreaction. I was guilty of that overreaction, by the way. So what were your takeaways from Saturday?
I hate to do this because I don't really know what the extent of the play calling or what they're trying to accomplish is, but I think I'm ready to say it. I'd go to Quinn Ewers before I'd go to Zach Wilson.
Wow.
If the situation arises.
You're in on Quinn?
I'm in on Quinn. Now, I will say, Frank Smith was asked twice today by Chris Perkins whether or not Zach Wilson has a stranglehold on the backup job. And Frank Smith was he tried to evade answering that question. I think Zach Wilson's going to be the number two. But in Detroit, to me, it was pretty clear who the better quarterback was, and it was Quinn Ewers. I love how nonchalant he looks at times. Sometimes just a flick of the wrist from him. I don't know. I feel like someone like Quinn Ewers, who had the skill set he had at Texas, I've seen a lot more quality football from Quinn Ewers than I have from Zach Wilson. Now, obviously, Quinn's quality came in college as opposed to Zach Wilson, but I look at Zach and I just see the same guy that had his same issues in New York when he was in the preseason last year with the Broncos. I don't really see much different there. And he's wearing zero. You can't wear zero as a quarterback.
Yeah, it's funny. Rondé Gadsden's going to join us in the next segment, and he was adamant that nobody is respected wearing number zero in the huddle. He was adamant. Nobody respects anybody wearing zero in the huddle.
I have a theory. Zach and Braxton Berrios were very close when they were both on the Jets. Remember, they had the matching T-shirts and everything.
Right.
Braxton Berrios wore the number zero, which isn't a number, with the Dolphins when he was here. I wonder if this is Zach Wilson paying homage to his good pal Braxton Berrios by wearing zero. Regardless, change it.
Well, I want them to keep Quinn Ewers. I want him on the 53-man roster. So
I think that's clear.
I wouldn't be super upset if Quinn Ewers was the Dolphins' only backup and they traded Zach Wilson. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's a legitimate, serious possibility. I also don't think there's a chance in hell Quinn Ewers will be QB2 on the depth chart. I think they paid Zach Wilson, they went out, they got him, and that's it. Like, that's 100%. The decision that they made, and it is what it is.
But they're not going to be in a similar situation this year like they were last year, where they're scrambling to find guys. These are their three, and they're going to keep all three, and that is perfectly fine. I think that what they went into the regular season with last year at backup quarterback, they're in better spot in 2025.
The Miami Dolphins, by the way, are going to play Daniel Jones week one at Indianapolis. He has been named the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. That is your Odyssey Sports training camp coverage brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. We couldn't believe it earlier. Appel and I looking at the line, and the Dolphins went from 1-point dogs to 1.5-point dogs because of Daniel Jones. Pretty crazy stuff, man.
I may have been convinced by Warren Sharp that this was the right decision by the Colts.
Okay, why is that? Warren Sharp was high on the Miami Dolphins like a couple weeks ago, just putting out this incredible thread.
The McDaniel Tua trip.
Right, yeah. Right, where he was just pointing out, I think you had mentioned it actually when you came on with us a couple weeks ago. Like just how great these two are when they're both out there, or Tua's out there with Mike McDaniel.
So here's what Warren Sharp writes today in four parts. 55 quarterbacks have 175 attempts the last 2 years. Richardson ranks 55 out of 55 in accuracy, 55 out of 55 in completion rate, 50 out of 55 in touchdown to interception ratio. Now they adjust for target depth. 54 qualifying quarterbacks last year qualified a completion percentage over expected. Richardson ranked 54 out of 54. So now they adjusted for when he throws the most off, for where he throws the most often. On passes, 7 or more yards down the field with no pressure. he completed 38% of those passes. The NFL average is 57%. Out of 55 quarterbacks the last 2 years, Richardson ranks 55 out of 55 in completion rate, 55 out of 55 in EPA, and 55 out of 55 in touchdown interception rate. He has one touchdown to six interceptions. And there's one more tweet here. I'll just go through it. Only quarterbacks in their first 2 years, minimum 300 attempts since 2000. So that's 25 years. There are 103 quarterbacks. He ranks 103rd out of 103rd in accuracy, 102nd out of 103rd in completion rate, 94th in success rate, 88th in touchdown interception ratio, and 81 of 103. And he was still given a shot, Warren Sharp says, to start this year. Couldn't beat out Daniel Jones.
Couldn't beat out
Daniel Jones. So maybe it's not all that crazy.
Couldn't beat out Daniel Jones. When I told you that in the first hour, you didn't believe me. Now somebody else says it, and you take their word for it. If you can't beat out Daniel Jones, I think it says a lot about your ability as a quarterback in the NFL. I think it does.
Well, Warren Sharp has a better mustache than you do, so that was a little more convincing.
I think his credentials to analyze NFL talent probably a little bit better than mine as well, probably.
Nah.
Somebody who has excellent credentials to analyze the NFL is Aronde Gadsden. He's going to join us on the other side. The Marlins play tonight. Game two versus the Cardinals. They set the bar very low yesterday, so it's got to be a better game. And Inter-Miami will play Tigres tomorrow. Leagues Cup quarterfinal match. That'll be at Chase Stadium. We'll get to some more big NFL headlines coming up later on in the show. Your weather, 90 degrees, hot as hell. And if you just want to be annoyed, look at the tropics map. It's just annoying. Because you had that big, what was it, Jimmy? Hurricane Elena?
Aaron.
Aaron. I don't know where I got Elena from. turned right, which is great. But then there's like two storms behind it. Not that they've developed yet, but you know, like the map, it shows you the orange grid where there's a 40 to 60% mm-hmm. chance of developing. And then there's one behind it coming off the coast of Africa. It's just annoying. Like, I'm sick of it. As a homeowner, new homeowner, first hurricane season as a homeowner, I'm sick of it. Stupid hurricanes. Done with it. That's your weather. Aronde Gadsden is going to join us next. It's Appel, it's Solana, it's Jimmy. Hawk and Crowder will be back tomorrow. It's the Hawkman, Crowder, and Solana show right here on 104.3 FM WQAM.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I'm just saying that I'm Hawk. We talk Tua. Hawk Tua.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Stu, 15 minutes of game day uncensored. It's brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event. Get offers on select models now through September 2nd. Learn more at Lexus.com. We were supposed to have Aronde Gadsden on this segment, but we have misplaced OG. Sucks, man. National Potato Day. Yesterday was National Fajitas Day. I had a lot to talk to with Aronde Gadsden. It's okay. We'll get there at some point. He might call us in a few minutes, and we'll connect with OG. But until then, Josh Appel filling in today. No Hawk, no Crowder. I wanted to run through some updates from camp today, and I wanted to get to some stories I saw regarding the Miami Dolphins, and it includes the Indianapolis Colts and their Week 2 matchup with the New England Patriots. But first, Appel, really quickly here, you were at practice today. I know the Dolphins just signed a cornerback, and I know that Matthew Judon was made official, but as far as today at practice, was there anything that you necessarily saw that had you excited? Was there anything that you saw that had you concerned? What exactly was like your big takeaway from today's practice?
Nothing that like really jumped out at me much. You know, we're so far away where they put the media during these practices.
Yeah, you're on the 50-yard line and you're talking to Mike McDaniel the entire time. I get you.
Yeah, and they're on the field closest to the indoor facility. I mean, the biggest observation, of course, is that Darren Waller still isn't practicing. Tyreek spent a lot of time on the bike today, but Jalen Phillips, Chop Robinson, Bradley Chubb, they were all out there practicing this afternoon. I found interesting, obviously there was a lot of noise around Minkah Fitzpatrick when he first left the Dolphins. They had asked him to do some things he had never done before, and he wasn't, at least that's the story, he wasn't really, you know, seeing eye to eye with the plan, both on the field and kind of how they wanted to attack the rebuild. But today he was asked about just how Anthony Weaver has been using him, and he said, look, I'm doing some things that straight up I have not done before, but I'm trying to maximize my own versatility that I know that I have. I thought that was interesting given what the narrative was around him when he first left the Dolphins the first time. And then he was also asked about Jason Marshall, another defensive back. Anthony Weaver talked about him too during his media availability. He played in the slot against the Lions over the weekend and acquitted himself very well, apparently. And we learned today that was the first time that Marshall had ever played in the slot in his career. So that was interesting as well. Oh, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine owns a dog. It's a mutt.
Great insight there. Hey, are you worried about Tyreek Hill at all, by the way? Are you worried that Tyreek Hill, we've been talking about this over the past couple days, any concerns about Tyreek hasn't really been available, hasn't really practiced much, hasn't really taken hasn't taken any snaps in any of the preseason games? I don't know. I guess my concern, my question is, are you concerned about Tyreek Hill's A, availability, and B, health going into the season? I know the big concern is the situation within the locker room and like the culture stuff and the character stuff. I get it. But I'm talking about strictly football and health. Any concerns about Tyreek Hill?
I don't know if I have any concerns. I think I'd be more concerned if I didn't see him out there at least doing stuff on the side. What's he have, an oblique injury right now that he's dealing with? They've still got, obviously, a lot of time before week one on the 7th against the Colts. I have a hard time believing he's not going to be available for week one. And I would imagine we may have heard something that would allude to that if that was an actual concern. So worried? No, but yes, I'd like to see him out there practicing. Although you never know, like that week leading up to the Colts in week one, that could be the first time we see him out there and then everything's all good. As long as that wrist's okay.
I'm with you. I saw this on CBS Sports predicting when each NFL team will lose its first game. All right? So what week each NFL team will lose their first game? First loss in week one, the Indianapolis Colts. So they're giving the Dolphins the victory over the Colts. Okay? All right? And this is what they write. With Daniel Jones getting his first start of his Colts career in week one, it feels like Indy's offense is probably going to struggle for the first few weeks of the season. The Dolphins have their own problems, but Miami's offense has enough firepower to get by Indy, which I think we would all agree. We saw this team play the Indianapolis Colts a season ago. It did not look good, but Stu Puntley was the starting quarterback for the Dolphins, and I believe that was his first game with Miami starting, right? I believe.
And then Tim Boyle finished the game, and they lost 16-10.
Right.
Somebody texted to the show when we were talking about this earlier that the Dolphins lost last year and have less this year, and I couldn't really wrap my head around the fact that somebody texted in and said the Dolphins had less last year at quarterback, are going to have less this year at quarterback, with Tua Tagovailoa healthy going into week one, than what they had with Stu Puntley and Tim Boyle going into that game last year.
Yeah,
I don't know what planet people are on.
I don't think that person's serious. I think you got by somebody who's not being serious on the text line.
Well, but I take everything seriously. So
week two, the Dolphins, they play the Patriots, and according to CBS Sports, predicting when each team will lose its first game, First loss for the Dolphins comes in week two. And this is what they write. This is a game the Patriots' new look defense could end up dominating, especially against the Dolphins' offense that hasn't looked overly good in training camp. And here's what pissed me off about this thing. If they want to have the take that the Patriots are going to beat the Dolphins in Miami week two, fine. Like, I don't think that's outlandish. But don't say that the Dolphins are going to have enough offense to get by Indy week one, and then say the Dolphins' offense has struggled in training camp, so that's why they're not going to be able to beat the Patriots week two at home. Like, those two are conflicting statements. It's stupid, and it doesn't make any sense. By the way, the Dolphins better be 2-0 after these first 2 weeks. They better be 2-0.
This person has clearly not watched or followed a Dolphins season in like 15, 20 years, because this 100% has a week one win for the Dolphins in Indianapolis, a week two win in week two at home against New England, going into a Thursday night at Buffalo on Amazon Prime in prime time.
Yep.
That is the first loss. It is the, all right, you know, they look pretty good the first 2 weeks, and then they were able to get a couple of wins.
Yeah, Tobin and I were saying it.
This might be different this year.
Tobin and I were doing it on Game Day Uncensored. We're like, we know what this is all leading up to. Another, this is a statement game. Thursday Night Football, statement game. McDaniel, Tua, can they get over the hump? Statement game. And then, you know, they just fell flat on their face again. Year after year, just shattered dreams. Year after year, it's the week three in Buffalo. Year after year,
whether it's here, whether it's there. Like during the Brady years, it was the Dolphins start 3-0. Okay, the Patriots are coming. The Patriots are coming. Fall flat on their face. Hey, now it's the Bills. The Bills are coming here. The Bills are coming here. They're 2-0. They're 3-0. Last year they were 3-0 going into the Bills game. Oh, that go poorly.
Let's take a break here. Aronde Gadsden just texted me. I'm going to tell him we're going to take a quick break. We'll sneak one in, and then we'll bring on OG for at least 10 minutes. We'll connect with the former Miami Dolphin. This was 15 minutes of game day uncensored, by the way. We'll continue talking Dolphins in the next segment here on the Hockman, Crowder, and Solana Show. Aronde Gadsden is next.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I used to spray paint raccoons and see if they come back in my yard after I catch them.
It's a great move.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to the Hawkman, Crowder, and Solana Show right here on 104.3 FM, WQAM, Miami's sports leader. We found Aronde Gadsden, and I don't want to waste any time, so let's head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. OG, did you watch any of last night's Bengals Commanders game? Did you see Joe Burrow running for his life by any chance? Just randomly.
Yeah, I did see it randomly, as you say. I wasn't really looking for the game, but I turned it on, and I think maybe a minute after I turned it on, he got slung down by a horse collar tackle. Why is he in there?
why is he in there? Did you see the play? There was a play late in the first quarter. I was laughing about it with Appel, where he's scrambling, runs out of the pocket, avoids a sack, could have just thrown it away, runs 10, 15 yards back, and then just gets rocked by three defenders. I'm thinking, what the hell is this guy? What's this kid doing? Just like... Get Burrow out of the game. What are you doing?
I don't know what's happening, man. I know you need to get some rhythm with your players and everything, but not in that situation. I think after the horse collar tackle, I think I probably would have pulled him.
Former Miami Dolphins wide receiver Aronde Gadsden, I'll introduce you officially, friend of the show. OG, we were talking about Zach Wilson and Quinn Ewers with Appel in the previous segment, and Appel was saying, like, he's ready to call it. Like, he's got Quinn Ewers above Zach Wilson on the depth chart, even though we know it's not going to happen. And I know you've got no respect for anybody wearing zero in the huddle, But were you more impressed
quarterback,
with
quarterback?
No quarterback. Right. Yeah,
right,
no
right, right.
Were you more impressed with Quinn Ewers on Saturday than obviously that first preseason game?
Yes, I think he did. He did a little bit better. I think he has command of what's going on. I think, you know, he seems more comfortable. But I think everybody as a rookie has to go through that, especially at the quarterback position. You know, he sees that he knows the calls now. He knows what his offensive line is going to do. The line he has, you know, it probably played with the same line because it was about the same time, like third quarter, whatever. And so I think, you know, if apples are apples, you know what I mean? I think you would go with Ewers, but, you know, at this point you got to go with Zach Wilson just because he has, he's been a starter. He's played in some bigger games and, you know, he knows the speed, but, it's not our decision to make, and we'll go whatever Coach McDaniel says.
Let's stick with the quarterbacks here, OG. We just found out today that the Dolphins' week one opponent, the Colts, they've named Daniel Jones the starter over Anthony Richardson. At first, Solana and I thought that was a little outlandish. Then we did a little bit of a deeper dive, a.k.a. read a bunch of tweets from Warren Sharp. Turns out, Anthony Richardson, pretty bad. Now, there are a lot of factors that have gone into that. I'm still surprised they're going with Daniel Jones over Anthony Richardson in week one. What do you make of that decision?
I think you have to. I think you have to. Once again, you're going with a guy who's been in there before. You're going with a guy who's started some big games, played, you know, well in them too. Not you know, terrible. I mean, his team was just, you know, worse than the other team. I think you got to go, you know, because of the injury history and because you're looking for something else than just a quarterback. I think you think you got a chance to win some games. Once that hope is kind of gone, then you can still go back to Richardson. I looked over some stuff too, and you know they had a post or a tweet that Anthony Richardson is younger than half the quarterbacks that just got drafted. You know what I'm saying? He's younger than Shador, Dylan Gabriel, Bo Nix. You know, he's younger than those guys, so he had some time. You know, he had some injuries coming into this season and had some injuries last season. So I think it'd do him good to, you know, look now. I mean, he started last year, and you know, it ended in a dumpster fire, so to say, for him with the injuries and everything else. But now I think if he gets a chance to look, you know, get his body right, and then comes in later, I think it'd do him a lot of good. And that's what I think, because you know, putting him in right now, you don't have a better team than you did last year. Really, you're kind of the same squad. You're going up against the same people. If you think you do have a chance to win, which every team does, you know, the first week of the season, I think you put the guy in who has the most experience. You know, like the Browns, like, you know, who didn't know the Browns were going to name Joe Flacco the starter? You know what I mean? But will Joe Flacco end the season? Probably not. But, you know, you got to go with the guy who gives you the best chance to win, you know, that day. And the first day, you got to start the vet, unless the vet just really, really just stinking up the joint, you know. I mean, I really, you know, it would have been hard if Will Levis was, able to play and all systems go with him, to come in and say Cam Ward is a starter. I mean, I know he's the first pick and blah, 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 but, you know, Levis did play good in some games. I mean, he beat the Dolphins one time. So, I mean, you know, it's tough to go against the experience and, the respect of the guys in that huddle on week one.
Yeah, I just don't know how much respect guys have for Daniel Jones at this point in his career. And, you know, you spent the top five pick on Anthony Richardson 2 years ago, knowing he was inexperienced and knowing that was going to be a lot of growing pains. Just feels like the Colts are shutting the door on Anthony Richardson. I want to get your take on Matthew Judon too. The Dolphins officially announced that signing today. More pass rush help. I know that they obviously have Chubb, Phillips, and Chop, but I think Judon adds a really cool dimension to this defense. He had a solid season last year in Atlanta with 5.5 sacks. I like the move. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I like the move. I like Judon. You know, at every stop he's been at, he's now been to a lot of them. But I've liked him at every stop. I mean, the Ravens, I liked them. Definitely liked them at the Patriots. You know, and so you know, you give him a shot because of one, the familiarity with the AFC East, being at the Patriots for so long, and you know, he gives you that veteran leadership. You know, it's kind of we hoping that we, you know, strike goal kind of like the Ravens did with Kyle Van Noy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Older vet, you know, who got some left in the tank and, you know, gives the team a jolt. So that's what I'm hoping happens with Judon here. You know, you get a new scenery, especially with the weather, and, you know, he can pull some stuff together. Is he going to, you know, beat a Judon, you know, with 9, 10.5 sacks? Probably not. But I think with those four guys you named, or three guys and him, I think we can, you know, drum up some pass rush, which with the secondary is going to need. You know what I'm saying? Our secondary going to need some pass
and
rush.
And Cam Dantzler.
Rush 10, OG. That was my my take yesterday. Let Minka back there, rush 10. And by the way, OG, yeah. OG, we're up against it, but – bro, if the Dolphins lose week one to Daniel Jones, I'm sounding the alarms, man.
Already?
I'm sounding alarms, man. You can't lose to Daniel Jones, bro. You can't lose to Daniel Jones.
You don't think Magic Mike can make it past game 8 if we lose to the Colts in week one?
I know that's like the hot take right now. A lot of people are claiming that take, that Anthony Weaver will be the head coach at some point this year. I don't know. I think you and I are on the same page. Like, this team's fine. They're good. Yeah. They're not great. Yeah. But, like, Tua's in there. They're fine. But you lose to Daniel Jones week one, I punt on that. I punt on that. I sound the alarms right there.
Yeah, that would be tough. That would you know, listen, we – Every team, all 32 of them got hopes, Super Bowl hopes coming into week one. But if you – if you lose to the Colts and Daniel Jones, you might as well put 0 at quarterback at that point. You might as well go ahead, put number 0 at quarterback and see what we got. You know, so yeah, that'll be a tough one, man. That'll be a tough one. All hopes are lost. You at least try to fight until, you know, the first bye week starts. You know, hey, we got a shot, but we take that L. You know, it'd be pretty difficult to. I think everybody knows it. I think Mike would know it. You know, he'd be like, "Oh man, this ain't like didn't turn out the way." You know, I always look back to that 70-20 game. I thought sure we were playoff bound. I thought sure we could. You know, but long way since that game.
Should have kicked the field goal for 73, OG. That was a difference.
Should have kicked the field goal, right. He should have kicked the field goal and got the record.
Yeah, should have had the record. OG, we're like 2 weeks away from OG the second going up against Chris Jones, Max Crosby. Next week, we'll be a little bit closer and we'll talk about it, man. Thank you for taking the time today.
Yeah, man, thanks. You know, it's going to be like old school. I remember when I was, you know, in college, they used to put, you know, the names in the hall, you know, and you come out the dorm, see if your name was on the sheet. So we'll see.
Yes,
we'll see what happens to him next Tuesday. So thanks, man. Looking forward to it. I'll talk to y'all guys next week.
All right, OG. Take it easy, man.
All right, man. All right. Later.
All right. That's Aronde Gadsden. We'll take a break here. We're a little up against it, so we'll take a break. 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha Happy Hour is next.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I have this fantasy. I've had this for years. Of becoming obese and bedridden and just watching TV all day and having people bring me food.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.